In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of God's Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. There's any list of things we could give up for Lent. Some of them are better than others. Some of them are harder than others. Like I said, I don't understand people who give up coffee for Lent. Your pastor is not that strong. Anyway, but there's coffee and chocolate and donuts. I'm not giving those up either. And there's Facebook and email and TV, and I'm probably not giving those up either. And there's gossiping and sharing falsehoods and storytelling, and I'm going to work on giving that up. Not just for Lent, but, you know. There are any number of things we can give up for Lent. There are humorous posts about what we can give up for Lent. Somebody wiser than I said, "That's it. I'm giving up snow for Lent." I really want to call that person and say, "How's that working out for you?" They live in Minnesota. There's any number of things we can take up for Lent, right? Some people add things to their already full plates to do during Lent, like, "Oh, I'm going to read the devotionals that Pastor Christina put out on the table," or, "I'm going to prayer journal more often," or, "I'm going to commit to being at midweek services." I expect to see you all here. "I'm going to give more time to the food pantry or the clothes closet. I'm going to donate to such and such because that's my gift for Lent." And while those things all have a proper place and a time, there are certain things that we don't give up no matter what. There are certain things that you hold on to that are your God-given right and responsibility and gift that you never give up, no matter what. The first of those is your voice. In our responsive psalm reading, this is the one that Satan pulls out and tempts Jesus with when he says, "Throw yourself down and God will save you." Because it says in Scripture, "For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways." And what does Jesus say? Don't put God to the test. And you have Paul writing to the Romans. And you have to remember, when Paul was writing to these various churches, it's because he was not there to lead them in their founding of the new church, right? And so he was writing to them saying, "These are the troubles that I've heard you've had. This is what's gotten to me, and this is how you need to fix it," right? And so in this passage from Romans, and he's talking about there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. There is no distinction between male and female. The word of God is for everybody. There is no difference now. You are all Christians. There is no difference anymore between how the Jews used to do it or how the Gentiles used to do it. But more important than that, he talks about confessing God. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and in your heart you have faith that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Because the simple truth is that in that time when Paul was writing to the Romans, right on up to our time today, there are too many forces in our world that try to get us to hush. There are too many other that try to get us to deny our voice. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands, but I am going to ask you to sit for just a minute and be honest with yourself. Are you comfortable enough walking out the doors of this building and proclaiming Jesus is Lord? Out loud, so everybody can hear you. The trouble is society has taught us how many times, "Well, But that's not popular, and you shouldn't say that. That's not okay to talk about that. Instead of that, you should be talking about this, or you should believe this, or you should say this, or you should talk about that. Confessing Jesus is Lord is not just about walking out the doors and saying those three words, Jesus is Lord. It's about living and telling your story. It is important. Every one of us has a story. Every one of us has walked through the fires we've walked through, and we've come out on the other side. We have a story to tell about the greatness of the Lord. How many times in our own lives have we seen where God has worked in mysterious ways, his wonders to perform? How many times have we seen in our own personal lives or in the life of our congregation or in the life of our loved ones where God has been? And God still is. Where the words the psalmist wrote came true. Because you have made the Lord your refuge, the Most High your dwelling place, no evil shall befall you, no scourge come near your tent. For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. On their hands they will bear you up so that you will not dash your foot against a stone. You will tread on the lion and the adder, poisonous snake. The young lion and the serpent you will trample underfoot. Those who love me, I will deliver. I will protect those who know my name. When they call to me, I will answer them. I will be with them in trouble. I will rescue them and honor them. With long life, I will satisfy them and show them my salvation. Do not give up your voice. The flip side to that is, do not take someone else's voice away from them. Everyone has the right to speak their truth. We have the responsibility to listen to their truth and hope and pray that our truth is also listened to. Our truth is this, that Jesus is Lord, that he did not stay in the grave, that he won the victory over death, that death could not hold him, and that he sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. Our truth is that we have seen the goodness of the Lord. Are we brave enough to own it? Because it's all well, fine, fun, and dandy when God works well in our lives and we see the hand of God and the way things have moved. But if we aren't willing to own it and we aren't willing to share that good news, then the gospel dies just inside the door. Using our voice and our words and our convictions is how the light spreads. When there are way too many forces out there willing to blow our lights out, there are way too many dark things that are trying harder than anything to dampen us down and to make us go along with status quo and to make us go along with everybody else. I don't see it that it says here, if you, in your heart you have faith that Jesus raised himself from the dead, that some human raised him from the dead. So if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and in your heart you have faith that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Trusting with the heart leads to righteousness, not righteous indignation. Righteousness. And confessing with the mouth leads to salvation. The scripture says, all who have faith in him will not be put to shame. There is no distinction between Jew and Greek, because the same Lord is Lord of all, who gives richly to all who call on him. And all who call on the Lord's name will be saved. Are you going to listen to the one who called you into being? Are you going to listen to the one who raised Christ from the dead, who gave up his only son, who created us in his own image? Are you going to listen when the creator of the universe tells you to sing your song and tell your story and use your voice and proclaim the good news of the gospel? Or are you going to let the voices out there tell you what to believe and tell you what story to tell and tell you how to go about things? Because if we get so focused on listening to the other voices, what was the point? What was the point in all of it? This year is a weird year for me, because it's the year where I'm 33, and you know, you've got all those lovely Easter songs that Jesus, 3 and 30 years, and so Jesus and I are the same age, right, this year? And I cannot imagine somebody my age being willing to go to the cross like that for generations to come. I can't imagine somebody my own age, and this is another conversation for another time, but I can't imagine somebody my own age doing that and our not honoring it in everything we do. You have a voice. Use it. Whether it's telling your story to somebody who's down, whether it's walking along beside somebody who's walking through that valley of darkness, whether it's standing up for those who are voiceless, whose society has taken their voice from them, whether it's writing a note to somebody who is lost, whether it's calling and saying, "Can I come pick you up? We're going to go to breakfast." You have a voice. Use it. You have a story to tell. Tell it. You have a song to sing. Sing it. Don't tell me you can't sing. Don't let them take your voice from you. Because when you give up your voice, you're letting Satan win. That same old slippery devil who told Jesus to turn the stones into bread and throw himself off from the top of the temple and all this other, who constantly tempts us every time we turn around, who shows up in the most unexpected places, who sometimes you can look in the face of somebody you dearly love and say, "Satan, get behind me." Think about that. Wasn't that what Jesus said to Peter? Peter, his number one disciple, who, God love him, never ever got anything exactly right. Peter, the rock on which the church was built. Peter, who used somebody else's words to Jesus. And Jesus looked at him and said, "Get behind me, Satan." You have a voice. Why would you let somebody take it from you? Tell your story. Even if you're telling it to yourself because you need to be reminded of the goodness of God in your life. Tell your story, even if you have to be reminded yourself of the goodness that God has shown in your life. This is a week in my life where I have to be reminded of the goodness of God. Friday marks the 14th anniversary of my brother's death. I have to be reminded of the goodness of God. I have to be reminded that God's still in it. I guarantee you there's someone in this world who needs to hear your story too. Needs to see that, yeah, I've come through the fires. You will too. You have a voice. Don't ever give it up. Amen.